Welcome to Global Supply Chain Week. Today, we have Randy Ofiara, Vice President of Vantage Logistics at Bluegrace Logistics. Welcome, Randy. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Mary.
So for someone who is new to the industry or is not familiar with the analytics behind network optimization and everything like that, can you give us a quick overview of the prescriptive and predictive analytics and kind of like just like a high level elevator pitch view of them?
Yeah, so really what predictive and prescriptive analytics do from a supply chain optimization standpoint is help you understand when is the best time to procure capacity in the marketplace, specifically in the truckload space. I think that's probably the best high level side of it. I think for us and how kind of what we do with it within our managed logistics space is a little bit different. We actually tie that into our overall continuous improvement programs when we work with our clients. So it's a piece of the puzzle, but not the entire puzzle.
I mean, there's many pieces of the puzzle to keep the customer happy. If anyone has learned that.
Yes, there is. Yes.
So this predictive analytics, so as a former pricing agent myself, I knew the importance of that, but not everyone really realizes like that it's certain seasons that are better to be in pricing, running bids, everything like that. There's good times and bad times. So then how do you kind of use that information to build a sustainable network for your carrier, for your customers, and kind of be able to, like when you go take them out to bid, be like, hey, your costs, you can expect to increase about this much. Like kind of how do you start those conversations with them where the customer might be like, I want to take everything out to bid in January. And you're like, that might not be the best idea.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because the last like 2 years, it's like your traditional bid cycles when to go to market have been completely flipped upside down. And that is extremely important to make sure you've got the data and the analytics to understand what's happening in the marketplace so that you can go to market at the right time. I spent the majority of my career as a transportation buyer, and there was always a seasonality to when you want to go to market, or you're watching the Morgan Stanley Freight Index, and when it dips, you decide, hey, now's the time. The way that our industry has advanced over the last few years, specifically from a technological standpoint, has been actually really incredible, both in the visibility tools that you're seeing out there, but also in the analytical tools and forecasting that's available out there today. And, you know, so what we do with our clients is usually when we engage with our clients, what we find out is that when we look at their technological journey or their analytical journey, they're usually more in the descriptive state. And what I mean by that is they're always talking about, well, what happened? We saw this. Well, what exactly happened? Like we almost no visibility. And then they if they're not in that state, they're usually a little bit further upstream in the diagnostic stage, which is more, why did it happen? So now you're kind of making progress. And really what we try to help companies do is then move even further upstream into the predictive, which really is what will happen. And then the prescriptive, which is, well, then how can we make that actually happen? So we kind of help customers move up that value stream of understanding not only what happened and why it happened, but then what will happen next and how do we help that that happen? And what I mean by happen, how to better execute your freight, right? How to better either take your, like I said earlier, it's a piece of the overall puzzle, the procurement piece of supply chain management and logistics management, transportation management is just, again, just one piece of it. So when we look at that, we say, what is the best time to go to market? When should you release your spot loads to the market, given the season, given the date that you're shipping, the day of the week? But more importantly, when you look at their business intelligence and you look at their data, how can you help them actually be more profitable, understanding their cost of servicing their customers? So those are a lot of high level things that we do to help. But, you know, I think if you look at it, I'm more interested and really intrigued with the direction our industry is going from a technological standpoint around our analytics capabilities.
Oh, this industry is long overdue for some nice technological upgrades. Like it's great. I feel like entire like supply chain networks should not necessarily be running on Excel. But I also think we're a couple years away from getting everyone off of that. That being said, you guys said that you have all this data and all this knowledge and everything of how to improve customers, when to take them out to bid, everything like mm-hmm. that. So where do you guys, how did you guys know, one, where to start looking for this data? And two, like, how did you know what questions to ask, what to look for, so that way you could start providing this service to your customer? Does it start day one when you bring a customer on, or do you need to get some of your own historical data from a customer? Because when I would get historical data from a customer, it was always delightful. It was data.
Yeah, we run into that quite a bit as well. And when we look at, you know, our entry point, if you will, during our sales process. And we have a pretty decent, thorough sales process, trying to understand their order to delivery, internal processes, workflow streams, et cetera. But you're absolutely right. When we capture that data and we finally get that data, we instantly, you understand why these companies need people like Bluegrace to help them kind of sort through everything. Like I said, because they're really that analytics capability is, like I said earlier, with the descriptive and diagnostic, that usually translates into some type of pivot table out of Excel. You know, there was a recent article that came out that mentioned that 50% of all companies are still using spreadsheets to manage their supply chains. And I would agree with that just based on what we see in the marketplace when we're out talking to customers. So yeah, our entry point is always capturing that data through the sales cycle and then understanding, okay, well, what did happen, and more importantly, going back to the customer and saying, this is how we're interpreting the data and what you did. Why did you do that? What are the business rules? Because based on what we're seeing on some of the strategies that we could deploy to make you smarter about how you ship, whether that's when to release your shipments to market, or whether it's actually working through mode consolidation and optimization, and making sure you're shipping the most optimal mode of transport. Those are the types of discussions we go back to the customer with and say, well, if we were to do this, here's what your scope of opportunity could be. Now, how do we actually make that happen for you and become more of a prescriptive type of a solution? So it's pretty robust, and I'm with you. When we hire a lot of our entry level positions, you know, most of those former students, college grads, they come with a pretty good tech stack knowledge of their own. And when you're sitting there explaining to them that, you know, not every truck, we don't actually know where every truck is on the road because we're not connected to that specific driver. That's a little bit of a shock because everyone's used to pushing a button on their phone and knowing everything that they want to know. So it's good to see the technological advancements coming. I've always said we're 20 to 25 years behind the rest of the world in terms of our technology in our industry. But it's good to see that investment and see how things are going in the future here.
So a lot of people have spent a lot of time working on making it like their customer facing software is very high tech and very like user friendly and everything like that. But a lot of the systems that support it are a little more antiquated and legacy systems. So how, since you guys have put like this data collection and this continuous improvement and all of these analytics, since you have put such a big pressure and priority on that, have you guys had to basically in turn upgrade your internal systems to match that kind of data analytics and that ability that you guys are promising to the customer? Because a lot of what you're saying is very hard to run on a legacy system.
It definitely is. I mean, one of the things, we have our own proprietary TMS platform, you know, BlueShip, and that actually enables us to execute a lot of our plans and a lot of our continuous improvement initiatives inside of our systems. It's key to make sure that when you are identifying opportunities for improvement, that you have the ability to actually execute said improvements. And, you know, one of the reasons why we do have our own proprietary system is exactly for that. We have control of it. We have the coding. You know, we go to integrate with our customers. You can't necessarily do a load optimization or load planning without integrating at the order level to our clients. So sometimes working with different ERP systems, having the ability to integrate with those systems and having my own work, my own developers about 30 feet from my office here to go down and talk to about how we have to integrate at the order level with SAP or NetSuite or ERP, ABC, it gives us a lot of flexibility and we're very nimble in that regard. So I think it's key to owning that. And it's very key to make sure you can execute what you say you can do.
I'm sure that they just absolutely love seeing you walk towards them going, so I have a problem and you're going to love it. It's going to be easy to fix.
It's always easy in the salesperson's mind, right? But you know, it's fun. It's fun that to have an organization that supports us and what we do and helps us kind of turn out these turnkey solutions for our clients. And, you know, I honestly, as part of our discussions with our clients and potential clients, we always say, you know, we're not a cookie cutter type design. We don't plug into you or you don't plug into us. We plug into you. So a lot of times we have to do some type of configuration and we do that to the best of our ability every time. So it is good to always make sure that those folks, we keep them happy here.
So then I'm guessing since you've already like your promises to your customer upfront are like, hey, we're going to make your network better, stronger, more reliable, everything like that. I'm assuming you don't have that much of a hard time getting buy-in from your customers to let them to be like, yeah, we're going to come in and fix everything and make it better. And here's why. And here's the cost savings we're going to do. So do you guys have a lot of like hesitation from new customers or old customers as you're trying to continuously improve their network? Or are they just like, yeah, no, sounds great. Keep it up.
Yeah, no, there's always challenges. Cause like I mentioned, you can always, the data always tells you 50% of the story. So when you look at that data, specifically during the sales process, we look at it and we go, oh my gosh, you have just a mountain of opportunity here. And then we go back to the customer and we have that first reality check. And we're like, okay, so we don't know your network as well as you do. So here's the mountain of opportunity. What inside of this is actually implementable? What can we actually create a project for and drive that improvement process through your organization? And then we kind of put those onto a little grid and say what highest impact, lowest cost to implement, or easiest ease of implementation on it. And that's how we kind of create our go to market strategy on what projects to attack first for that client. But for the most part, I'd say our clients embrace everything that we're bringing to the table with that. The real question is once we go through that sanity check and reality check, what actually can get implemented on the back end? Knowing we can do the execution, a lot of times it's the clients with their internal, whether it's political or their business rules they have with some of their larger customers, they just maybe can't implement some of the projects that we can bring to the table.
I mean, that makes sense. You kind of have to, you know, pick your battles and choose when you can. I feel like getting those quick wins in early is a nice way to kind of be like, look, we can do what we've promised. Yes. We're not like everyone else. We're different.
Yeah. Well, I laugh because that's like a lot of times what we have to show differentiation, right? I'm not just another broker on the street. We quite frankly, Blue Grace and our managed platform is a lot different. You know, we're really looking to help companies become more profitable through looking at their data and giving them better business intelligence. And you know, for the last 5 years that I've been here, we've got a pretty good track record of doing that. So, I always kind of say we're more like a consulting company, supply chain consulting company. We just happen to manage your transportation as the way to fund the consultancy, you know, and that's kind of the approach that we take.
I dig it. A consultancy, a big consultancy, but probably like a third of the cost of consultants.
Correct. Yeah. Well, if we're doing our job right, we pay for ourselves and you get a return on your investment.
There you go. So you said that you work with them on like when to take their stuff to the spot market, when to kind of do the RFP process. So how does that work even with like your account manager? So like if you say like, oh, because obviously you're not managing every single one of your customer shipments. You don't have enough hours in the day for that. But how does that work with like your account managers, everything like that? Like when you onboard a customer or when you are working through implementing a new project or something like that, do you kind of have everyone within your organization and the customer like sit down and be like, this is what we're doing, this is the plan? So that way, if it's in certain markets, they need to have 2 or 3 day tender lead times. That way you're not putting things in a day and a half or like 6 days out. So that way everyone is making sure that this project is going off well. I mean, obviously sometimes there's things you can't control, but just the best plan. Does it kind of start something like that?
Yeah, it does. You know, and on the managed logistics side, we actually do manage all of the shipments. It's part of the value prop because we are doing a lot more than just the tendering of the freight, the track, the trace. there's a lot more pre-shipment activity that's happening in value adds that are happening. So we actually are signing, you know, agreements with our clients that gives us the ability to manage all of their shipments, LTL, truckload, or anything else that maybe is in scope. But you're absolutely right, from the account manager level, that is how it starts. It's sitting down saying, all right, we've identified these opportunities. We think these are implementable. Now let's create a project plan. What are the resources that are going to be needed from Blue Grace? What are the resources that are going to be needed from our customer? And then once we identify a project team, we start working through the project through its fruition over time. So whether that's, hey, we've identified that there's some LTL consolidation opportunities here, meaning in our analysis, we saw that if we were to do a two-day consolidation program, meaning every other day you had the same LTL shipment going from the same origin, the same destination. That's really a business rule change with a client. So we Pareto that out. We look at their customer. We find customer A is the largest offender. Here's what the value of this program is. Let's go have that conversations with the customer sales team with the data to support, saying the customer's ordering pattern and their behavior is costing your organization X amount of dollars. And through that process, we help them understand what business rules they need to tweak and which ones they can implement. That in turn makes our clients more profitable. So, but yeah, the process you outlined is exactly correct. It all starts with that initial kickoff and, all right, let's circle the wagons here. Who needs the, you know, what are our resource allocations need to be both internally at Blue Grace? What are they from our client? And let's go tackle this project.
I mean, I feel like you kind of have to have buy-in from everyone on all levels of both the customer and your guys' side, because otherwise it's, you can have all the best projects in the world, but if there's a kink in the chain, like if someone's not wanting to buy in, then you're going to have a problem.
100%. And that's why it's key to make sure it's not just Blue Grace driving these projects, right? We have to have key stakeholder buy-in at our clients. They've got to bring in the additional resources internally. Sometimes they have to work with their IT team or their sales team, and trying to herd those cats, if you will, can sometimes be a challenge. But then there's also moments where we have to help our customer articulate the value of these programs so that they can get that time allocated from their direct peer groups internally inside the organization.
You mean that you don't work with customers that have amazingly flawless and perfect and completely willing to drop everything at the drop of a hat IT departments?
Yeah, no. What? Unfortunately, that doesn't usually work that way, especially the ones that outsource the work. That makes it even more complex. But, you know, honestly, in those situations, that's where we can rely, again, on our technology and our group here. And there might be ways for us to maybe tweak something that makes it more swifter to be implemented on the customer end. So less work for them, more for us, but you know, that's why we're here.
Yeah. I'm sure everyone loves it when you're like, so the customer is having a problem with this, but don't worry, we can fix it. We can fix it. We can be the solution. We don't know how yet, but we can be the solution.
100%. That's exactly what we want to be.
I've been in a lot of those situations and you're always just kind of like, I guess we're going to figure it out as we go. Here's hoping for the best.
Yeah. Figure it out and make it happen. Those are kind of the two words to live by.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. Where can people find you outside of the Global Supply Chain Week? Twitter, LinkedIn, email?
LinkedIn, email. My LinkedIn profile is out there. Email address, arofiera@bluegracegroup.com. I'd be happy to talk to anybody about how you can use predictive and prescriptive analytics on a go-forward basis, what that means to your organization. And like I said, really looking forward to seeing what this year and beyond brings to our industry, just from a technology standpoint. I feel like we're on the cusp of a renaissance that is way overdue.
Oh, absolutely. We're at sink or swim time, no doubt. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Randy.
Yeah. Thanks, Mary. Appreciate it.